Coffee?
It tastes
a little, yeah. Tastes funny.
Is Tom here?
Is Tom here?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Present.
And I am Matt Guerrero. I am here. If we could go to item number 3, it's the Flaxley. All right, item number 4 is the agenda review. I was advised a moment ago by Mr. Martin that he would like to have item 10C pulled. That is the resolution regarding the administration fee for the sale of safe and sane fireworks. Chase, is something we should have on the next agenda then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We should be able to figure it out by then.
Why don't you talk into the microphone?
There's just arisen some confusion as to... I think originally we were trying to set the fee structure, something mirroring what was being proposed by the Five Cities Fire Authority.
Okay.
And Caroline and I were both actually kind of chasing around sort of the historical, not really a drama, I guess, but just what's been done in the past in Oceano and how it is going to fit in with what the Five Cities Fire Authority is proposing. And ran into some confusion shortly before the meeting. Such that I've sort of lost confidence in the resolution as it currently states, as it currently is written. So I would propose that we put it over to the next meeting.
That's fine. And if you and I, if you want to get together at the meeting, then I can go over that together as well.
That's fine.
Is there any other additions or changes to the agenda tonight?
I have none.
I'm going to accept the agenda.
All right. I have a motion to accept as amended.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Motion is approved as amended, or excuse me, the agenda is approved as amended. Moving on to item number 5, public comment. Public comment on any item of district business. Good morning, or good afternoon, Mr. Gieslin. Is there any public comment slips?
How are you tonight, Chairman Guerrero? I have first off tonight Shirley Gibson.
Good evening, ma'am.
Hello. Shirley Gibson, 1546 Helena Street, Halcyon. I've lived in a Halcyon about 14 years, and I moved all the way from Arroyo, so that was a big move. I attended meetings here over the years, and I kind of stopped about a year and a half ago once I felt that the most effective speakers are strategic and focused. So I'm trying to do that tonight, and I hate public speaking, but I'm doing it. And the predictable speakers tend to be less effective. And when that happens while I'm watching TV, I hit the mute button. Now, that's a personal failing of mine, but I think it is kind of human nature. But the board does not have that luxury of hitting a mute button. When there are ineffective public commenters, then you need to fill that void. You need to be better listeners. You need to be more transparent. You need to cowboy up and quit moaning and groaning. And don't mention names. Don't make it personal. Be professional. Now, I think it is okay if you feel there are excessive and unreasonable requests. And it's okay to track time and money spent collecting that information and make that public. Because in the end, the residents and voters of the community, which is Halcyon and Oceano, we are the people that matter. And I feel that the local residents, like myself, have not been here supporting you. And so I encourage other people in the community to support the board and keep track of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson.
Good to
see you again.
Would you mind if we had your notes for the record, or would you rather keep them?
No.
That way it's attached to the board packets.
Oh.
And
there's a few
drawings. And I think you had some really, really good points. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gibson.
Thank you very much.
Tom, do you have any other speaker slips?
Nobody gave me any speaker slips yet.
Is there any other public comment? I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening, I am Julie Tacker, and coincidentally,
to follow the last speaker, something was mentioned about the legal costs, and I know they were referenced to my inquiries with the district. I'm sure that my interest in the district would be alleviated if your general manager simply honored the Public Records Act, if he simply honored the Brown Act. I've heard you say that you stand up for those things. I remember when Director Lucy stood at the podium, and she too was seeking public records from the district. It's part of doing business. What I did just receive and review that matter, whatever that matter is, there are no adoptions and no approvals mentioned. But you will likely adopt and approve things. If the agenda isn't thorough and say specifically that you are going to be adopting a resolution, not discussing and reviewing a resolution, adopting it, that lets the public know that they need to be here tonight if that resolution or ordinance or provision, whatever policy, adopting it is different than discussing and reviewing. And that's exactly what your entire agenda is made up of, is discussions and reviewing of subject matter. Staff reports, thorough staff reports would stop the questions. A history behind the item, a place for where the funding for that purchase may be, whatever the item is, a thorough staff report answers those questions. And then maybe I wouldn't have to feel the need to seek more information. Honesty goes a long way. An example was last year your board approved a contract with Mr. Geislin, and he said he would not take the cell phone stipend and he would not take health benefits. He's doing both of those things. Honesty and the word is a verbal contract, and that verbal contract has been broken.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? I see Mr. Edwards coming forward. Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. How is everyone? Let's see. At the last meeting, I was trying to frame a question for your board and for the residents of Oceano. It was a fairly simple question. Do the residents of Oceano want to help fund Supervisor Teixeira's 2014 reelection campaign? Fairly simple question. It appears your GM is staffing up so he can take the time to run the Teixeira campaign. I don't know if you knew, but you're up to 9 employees and thinking about a 10th. I'm not sure if your board is aware that your general manager has hired another accountant, Ms. Jocelyn Hodson. Matt or Thelma, I don't recall seeing any personnel agenda where this matter was discussed, or the myth that your payroll is approximately 16% of your gross revenues in an effort to minimize it. If you look at your budget and subtract out state project water funds, which is a pass-through, Five Cities Fire Authority, Zone 3, the seismic retrofit for Zone 3, those are all pass-throughs. Your budget is not really close to $4 million. It's closer to $1.2 million. And if you take your payroll of over $600,000 as a percentage of that, it's about 50%. So, again, this myth of 16% is payroll. And I would suggest to you that your general manager is indeed staffing up so he can go do what he does. I have a suggestion. I suggest that you put your general manager on unpaid administrative leave until the Teixeira campaign is complete, and then perhaps he can come back. Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment this evening? Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Giselle Naylor, go ahead and come on forward, Giselle. You're right on time.
Hello, Oceano Community Services District Board. I was downloading a blizzard of information ever since Chase Martin started talking about wanting to codify. And a year ago, when everybody 2 years ago when they got serious about the California case management system and how they were going to connect all the courts over 58 counties in California, I did a blizzard of paper work on records management, you know, a blizzard of research. And I just, that's when I discovered the Department of General Services and how they have a special program for all this. And today I was happy to find out that not only have they created this structure with all this guidance on how you preserve your government records and how you secure their integrity, and when you're making law. And what freaked me out when Chase Martin started to talk about, well, why don't we gather all the ordinances together and then synthesize what these ordinances mean over a period of years. And then once we do that, you know, once me and Molly write out this interpretation, we'll just throw out the laws. It's like, I know that records are destroyed in that way with respect journals, in my opinion. So the board, if the board wants to codify and organize documents, the first thing they should start thinking about is, you know, how can we scan the paper documents that we have? You know, how can we assure that the format is easily accessible by us and by the public? And, you know, what storage system are we going to use? Are we going to store on-site? Are we going to get our own server? Or are we going to negotiate for business at Sacramento? Because they're like a business. I mean, I printed out a page of like what things cost to store things, and I was going to give it to you, and you know, just some websites to fall into this humongous rabbit hole of information. But it's there. But that's what you guys should focus on before you start. No offense to the attorneys in the room, but paying $200-$300 an hour to have them interpret the laws. You need to scan.
Thank
first.
You, Ms. Naylor.
Ms. Thank Naylor, you. Do you have the names of the websites?
I do. And Office of Technology Services, to start with, Department of General Services.
Hold on, Ms. Naylor, why don't you print those out and drop them off by the office here, and I'll take a look at them.
Great. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment this evening? All right.
Can I ask a question of the general manager?
Sure.
Somebody had mentioned getting public records in timely fashions and that they had been late on getting theirs. Can you tell me how many requests come in a month from, let's just say, Ms. Tacker, for example. How many public records requests come in a month? A guesstimate.
Formal requests, probably one or two. Emails to say that their requests, probably one or two. And then I looked at it from the year that we started, and I think I've only had one other public records request.
Okay, so we're looking at a maximum of five a month.
No, two a month.
Two a month, okay. That's even better.
And, but the reason why, like she's saying, that this one was late was that she wanted it electronically, but we didn't have an electronic format. And the other part...
I have none.
Director Angelo?
No, it's fine.
Director White or
no.
VP Lucy? There's no comments, so I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept and approve the consent agenda as written.
All right. This motion is our second.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 8, reports. 8A, Farmers Market, Chairperson Mary Lewis. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Mr. President, Madam Vice President and Directors. I am Mary Lewis. I'm the chairperson of the Oceano Community Farmers Market, and I'm here to present my March 2013 update. As of this date, we have had two meetings. Our first meeting was, I believe, March the, we generally meet the first Thursday and the third Thursday of each month. So our last meeting was on the 21st. And we had a slight adjustment for the next meeting because the next meeting would have been during spring break. So our next meeting will be April 11th at 6:30 in the boardroom. And just to keep you guys updated on where we are, we continue to aim for April or May as our start date. That depends on when, you know, contracts are signed, submitted, and applications of those natures are finished. We are working with the Everyday Church at our site, which would be at the Oceano Rec Center, to coordinate our start time and their breakdown time, because currently, although they only have a contract through, I believe it's 12 or 12:30, maybe even 1, it generally takes them about a half hour to an hour more just to move out their set and their equipment. So we are negotiating with what we could do with that. So we may push it back 30 minutes to an hour. We do have verbal commitments with about 10 local vendors, and we've completed the vendor packets, which we reviewed at our last meeting, and many of those packets have been delivered. Our low-income outreach has connected with the program manager of the statewide Farmers Market EBT program in Berkeley, and their manager has volunteered to help us with the application process to make sure that we get all of the paperwork that we need submitted and in a timely fashion. Already, she has helped us determine what needs to be done and how long it would take. And at this point, we don't know how much the actual farmers market could produce, so we're just looking for community support and grants that could help us cover the season, hopefully. Currently, our prospective support could be between $10,000 to $35,000, and the $35,000 being on the high end, as in what grants we could apply for and what we could get, the low end being the $10,000, which would be you know, a little bit more solid foundation. So we're not sure where that stands, but we are definitely keeping that going. And that's about it. I mean, we've got everything as set up as we can, and we're just looking to get the paperwork filed. Great. Any questions?
If local community supporters wanted to support the farmers market, how would they go about doing that, Mary?
We have this actual sponsorship, we don't have a form for that. We haven't gotten to that, you know, filing of the paperwork. But if you would like to support, just contact me, and I'll keep your name and contact information. When we have that out, we'll get that to you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Lewis? Thank you very much, Mary,
for all
your work that you're doing. It's wonderful. Then next is the General Manager's Report, OCSD Operations. Tom?
Good evening, Board. Good evening, public. Thanks all of you coming out tonight. I know it's a jam-packed agenda, and I would like to point out that we do have a line in our agenda that says all items appearing on the agenda are subject to Board action. So that's how we address the Brown Act with respect to the way we post things. There's a lot of things I'd like to go over, but some of these have jumped up to the top. I'm sorry I didn't have time to write it down, but I've spent half the day in San Luis, and it's been a fairly hectic week. So tomorrow night we go before the Parks Commission for OHV grants, and Chief Arnez submitted one for the cruiser for maintenance, and we submitted one for an emergency generator to support the beach and to support the lift station and support the beach area should we have a power failure. And that would be a matching grant where they would come in with $20,000 and we would come in with $15,000. And then we also advised Five Cities Eco Rotary to turn in one so they could teach the commission. Will make their determination tomorrow night. So trying to follow through on that. The farmers market, Mary reported quite a bit, but there's also been some activity with respect to, that somebody may challenge our farmers market, so we can't do that. So the county has been pulling on OCSD to provide documents that support everything related to that. So we've been chasing that down. And I was at the Ag Department today getting the additional vendor list and reviewing the application that was turned in. And to date, there's no problems, but I haven't got the formal ag approval, but we're working to get that. In the yard, we've had a tremendous amount of activity installing new electronics. We have new chlorination systems in. We have new, remember when you drive by the tank and you have the little scale that reminds you of a slide rule? For those of you that are too young to remember what a slide rule was, it was a calculator. That method has now been replaced by actual floats and electronics. Okay. So we can coincide that, plus we get data recording now. So we've also, remember I've also said that we're trying to get all the compliance issues. We've put up more signage per the OSHA. We added another eyewash station, and our next step will be to improve the actual work facility that the gentlemen work in and put in ADA bathrooms so that the next time we hire a utility person, we'll be able to basically, we just don't have the working environment that's unisexual, but we are going to get it so it's unisexual so we can put women to work in that field as well. So I'm really proud of that. The other thing that we've done is we've done, for the past 2 years, we've been working really hard on getting the files all straightened out in the office, dealing with the archives that Ms. Naylor's talking about. But the water yard had a tremendous amount of files and plans, and some of it is needs to be archived, and so we've put a major pressure on that. Since we're out of a billing cycle now, we've been putting one of the office girls into the field over there, and she's been assisting the boys in networking the files so that what's in the yard is reflective of what's in the office and vice versa. One of the things that we continually fight every time we do a billing cycle is we have issues where thing that also happened to, and for all you people at home that call and say the bills, the envelopes and the bills aren't working, it wasn't the envelope, it was that the font was periodically changing in the Tyler system, and it took us a while to get Tyler to change it, and it did it like every fifth bill, so we would get one where it wouldn't line up with the envelope, and so we believe we have that all fixed now, so that won't happen again. And then the last thing is we continue to go in and look at the Tyler setups, and that was such a cluster when it was done before, and we keep nailing other problems, but our confidence level with it gets stronger and stronger. I am starting to get calls from other districts asking, are you having a problem with this? Are you having a problem with that? And no, but we had a problem with this. Oh, yeah, and so we've got a little interchange going. I'm not so sure. I mean, Tyler is a very, very expensive program, and it can be a very, very powerful program. As I've said before, it's not what this district needs, but until we come up with a better alternative, until we get on that sequence where we basically hit the button and everything's perfect, we're just not quite ready to make a move on that at this point in time. The budget, if you remember when I first came here, we did a simple line item budget. This is the amount of money coming in. This is what we have going out. And then we've been tracking to that. And because of the AS400 Tyler system and the Tyler system setup issues, we were not having much success getting the two to correlate. So we put it all on Excel. And if you remember, the accountants also recommended that we reload everything and recapture the year. Well, we're doing that right now. And we are trying to produce the budget in Tyler with an Excel backup so that everybody can see it. And I will be bringing to you that budget at the next board meeting for us to start reviewing and chasing down. So that's all I have for right now.
Thank you, Tom.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry. We were very, very active in the San Luis Obispo IRWM plan update. As you know, the last plan was done in 2002, and now we're attempting to do one in 13-14. And I put Oceano up as the lead agency, and on Friday we had, and the directors will also speak to them, because that was the one of the fundamental complaints was, you know, there's not enough people involved in this, right? And, you know, Mr. LeBrun from Napomo's here today. His agency is working with us. We're working with all the other agencies on the Mesa. We're working with our NCMA people. But the feedback is there needs to be more and more people involved. And so I made the commitment to our South County group that we would do everything we could. I'll probably do an op-ed piece in the TPR and in the Tribune as well, and we'll go from there. But the whole idea is to get input and consensus so that there's no surprises. And as I looked at everybody in the room, because they were complaining, I said, well, how many were here in 2002 when the last plan was put together? And no hands came up. So we went from none to we have, I'd probably say 35 interested parties now, and I imagine it's going to grow. So there'll be more work. We'll keep it posted. And I believe in you. I'll let you guys attest to the success of it when you talk about it. And then finally, AB 54 webinar training, it's about ethics, and we're all required to do that. And some of you have done it, and I received two certificates in the mail, one for Director Lucy and one for Director White. So you guys are ethically certified now.
We're competent.
And I believe Director Guerrero has done it.
I've done mine.
Yes. Has done his, but I'm not sure if you two have done it yet. Probably. So there's one coming up on May 6th, and they did it at night, so we have no excuses.
Okay.
And we will hold another class like we had the last time, and we'll get that beat down. So anyway, so you guys are certified now, so that's where we stand.
May 6th is a Monday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's Monday, May 6th.
Okay.
And I'm open to questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Gieselin? Mary?
No.
Okay, that's unusual.
I just wanted to tack on that. You know, Tom, you had mentioned the IRWM, which is the Integrated Regional Master Water Plan. And, of course, all the stakeholders who have any vested interest in water were there. But, I'm really searching to how to get the updates on the Master Water Plan are real-time sensitive versus 10 years ago, or, you know, and that it doesn't pile on a shelf and collect dust, that it actually gets implemented, you know. So I'm really strongly just a pitch for people to come and be part of that, because people complain about their water, and I just have to smile and look at them, you know, like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Come to the Master Water Plan meeting. So if you can think of anything, because I do think everybody has something to put in, no matter how much you know about water.
May I say something?
Even if you just drink it.
I'd like to say something. At the meeting, I thought you were very astute when you brought out the issue of the flooding in this area. And I think that that is a valuable piece of information and something that all of us in the community are interested in, and that should bring us out. And in putting together this master plan, there was discussion of making the flooding in this area a top priority. Mm-hmm. So if you are indeed interested, and I know there are many people in the community that are, based on what has happened, please do come out.
And I just want to tack a little bit onto that, is that when I first moved in the area, you know, all the neighbors, you know, zoomed on me. Are you for sidewalks or against sidewalks? I said, do you have a drainage system? And they said, no. And I said, then no, I'm not for curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, because where the hell is it going to go? So, you know, but that's stuff that can be talked about there, you know, if we have areas of town and stuff. So it is fascinating. And then you know what they're doing in the North County, too.
Director White?
No.
All right. Thank you, Tom. That was a formative report. Moving on to item number 8C, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. A is Director Angelo.
Okay, I attended the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting last week, and we mostly went over the agenda, not the agenda, the
budget.
Budget, that's the word I'm looking for. The budget for this next year. Fortunately, they actually saved some money from last year. So the, let me find it on here. Overall contract billings decreased by 3.80%. And also the operations and maintenance also decreased. And hopefully, and that's basically it. So we saved money this last year.
Director Hurdle?
Yes, I attended the Five Cities Fire Authority meeting on March the 15th, and at that meeting the board approved approximately $12,000 for new signage for all three of the fire stations. And it's going to be pretty needed. And that's it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I attended last Wednesday the Sanitation District meeting. And as I advised last time, I'm now the chair of that particular organization. And what we're seeing here with the bringing on the Sweeneys, Paul Karp, and ultimately new engineers, and the engineers in the room should probably perk their ears up, is a paradigm shift. And it's a paradigm shift to try to focus on what is actually the core mission of the Sanitation District, and that being wastewater treatment. There was a news article that came out. I had gotten a call from Cynthia Lambert, because in that particular board packet, we identified $671,000 that had been spent on the notice of violation and the administrative civil liability complaint, all related to the December 2010 spill. And none of these monies that have been spent were covered by any insurance coverage yet. And this is still an issue for us, and it's something that I have committed to try to do, is to try to get insurance coverage or some sort of payment back to the district for the legal expenses that have been spent on this. That was the purpose that starting probably back in November, I realized that the Wallace Group had been billing all of their time for the spill to the to operations. None of this had to do anything with operations, in my opinion. Operations to me is engineering new projects, and it's and maintenance. It has nothing to do with those particular items. And so once I figured that out, we started requesting the information. It didn't come until the last meeting. Part of that, though, I think there was some delay from the Wallace Group. Part of it, though, was there were some delays from the boards shifting. You know, remember, Mr. Wallace retired. We're getting new engineers. Bob Barlogio is retiring. That recruitment realistically represent what we're spending. This does not what we're spending on legal. This is not where we're spending in operations. And my fears were confirmed. The sanitation plant was way over budget, largely due to litigation. And if you look at the number of lawsuits that the sanitation district is involved in, it's numerous, and I think we spend most of our time dealing with those, and it's unfortunate. So anyway, that is my report on Sanitation District. VP Lucy?
I get to ask you questions.
Maybe. He should speak into the microphone when I do it.
Okay. So yes. I also got to attend Zone 3. Mm-hmm. And so I had a couple questions for you. Is that originally when the spill had occurred, the state found that the Wallace Engineering and Supervision had, how do you say that politely?
Was negligent?
That's it.
Yes.
Negligent. Okay, so the state said, okay, well, we feel sorry for you folks, so let's just do with a $430,000 fine, right? Was the fine offer about $430,000, or was it $340,000?
All the negotiations were behind closed doors.
Okay, so rumor has it is that the state said, okay, look, you know, you give us $430,000 for destroying a lot of people's lives, you know, as penalties. And the board, absent yourself, decided to wave the finger at them and go back in and try to negotiate it even lower, rumor has it. And so the legal counsel for the Sand District said, oh, no, that's not good enough. You know, so they had this huge hearing. The state came down. They looked under their skirts. They looked in the gutters. They looked in the offices. They looked at the plant and everything. They looked at the line of penalties, the grand jury investigations, the legal money, you know, that the engineer isn't even on site, but 2 hours a week over there, right? And they decided to fight that $400,000 or $340,000. Okay, so now the fine is $1.1 million.
No more vehicles on the beach.
That doesn't have anything to do with it. So, a penalty that could have been $400,000, and I think I'm even over guesstimating that by $100,000. So, you know, it just annoys the heck out of me that these people went to the legislator and said, you know, when we build this district, meaning the Sand District, we only want three people on our board. Three people that I can manipulate. Okay, so they got that. The legal counsel sites went and got that, right? So they got you in a headlock. So Oceano's standing over here going, no, 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 no. And these two other entities over here are going, spend, 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 spend. And so at what point do we step in and say, no, 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 no? You need to go back to processing sewer, not lawsuits. So do we do this from a community level? Do you do it racking up more legal dollars? Do we go shut the plant down and say and take their keys away and say, you've been bad people? What do we do? I think that that's the discussion that needs to happen. I know what I want to do. Civil disobedience all the way.
I did misquote the number. It was actually 691,000.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm apologized for that.
So they're up to $700,000. And what really got me is that darn little accountant, right? Bless him, right? Gets up there and goes, well, we seem to be in pretty good shape. From whose point of view? From yours? Because you can fit all the numbers in a little box? Because according to this, you're missing $3 million in reserves. So at what point do we do something about it? Who does it? The community? The board? The stakeholders? Who goes first?
The board.
You think this board goes first?
That board.
The Sand District sues. So the Sand District sues the Sand District.
No.
Work. I'm getting a headache over this one.
Who builds the insurance company?
No. The engineer decided that that board didn't need insurance.
Which is amazing.
It wasn't until Tom Gieselin about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, asked why it hadn't been tendered.
Right.
That it finally got tendered to the insurance company, and it still take control of that district back, and that's why you still see some monies going to Wallace. There's still this transition period, but I think the attitude of the board now is one to go ahead and just breach, sever the ties. The sanitation district board, I think,
to breach relationships with the engineer.
Yeah. To go ahead and sever those ties.
Okay. Well, you know, that's 27 years. Of public documents that were taken off the grounds and put over with Wallace Engineering, not to be confused with freestanding Mr. Wallace. He hired his company to do the work. So there was a discussion there the other day about an absorbent amount of money that was for earthquake repairs. How many people were here? How many people were alive or born when the earthquake happened? You know what? 10 years ago, they still have not done those repairs, but they spent that money. So how many of those cases do you have? I think that people need to pay attention to the Sand District. They're processing more than sewer there.
Karen, do you have any reports this evening?
No. Oceano Advisory didn't meet this month, and that was the one thing I had. I did attend the water meetings, and I think it's been pretty well discussed.
Thank you. Vice President Lucy?
Nope, I'm done.
All right. Moving on, item number nine, public comment. Public commented limited to the specific agenda.
I have a slip from Giselle Naylor.
Ms. Naylor, good evening again.
I got one. We have 3 more minutes.
Yes.
Issues.
Well, and just for background, you are able to set aside 1 or 2 minutes and come back in the final period of public comment.
Yeah. Yes.
But you have to set aside on the front end.
Yeah.
We don't keep a...
Well, originally when somebody was mentioning OHV grants, and I don't know anything about that, but that what that did was remind me that in conjunction with us developing a farmer's market, we need to take back the beach. We need to occupy the beach in Oceano to a certain extent because that could bring in money. The state gets a lot of money from us. That's what you've been talking about. And they get a lot of money back into Oceano and make the beach a place where you can walk. I'm not going to get into the big controversy, but there ought to be some kind of give and take where we can make it safe for at least a few days a year to have activities where people can bring their families and walk on the beach, and maybe limit the size of the vehicle to buggies one day instead of like big, you know, full-on big trucks that can drive 60 miles an hour on the beach. We need to limit it, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Tom, is there any other requests?
I didn't get any slips yet.
Mr. Edwards, good evening again.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Jeff Edwards. We've talked about this on a number of occasions, and I'd like to bring it to your attention again, and that is the way the agenda is organized. You have a number of hearing items under your business items, 10A through 10H, with the deletion of C. I would encourage your board to take public comment after those items and not confine it necessarily to this location on the agenda. The advantage that the public would have from a presentation by staff would be extremely helpful. There's generally a lack of written staff reports, so again, I think the sequencing could be improved. I did want to make several remarks. 10A is your RFP process for a district engineer. I'm not really sure why it's taken so long. This is generally a task that is reserved for the GM and your council, and I'm not sure why it's been expanded to such a lengthy and complex process.
Well, I can answer that for you.
Also, you know, I don't know if it's occurred to you, but at one time you had a gentleman that was applying for your GM position, Mr. John Hollenbeck, who is the manager of the Nacimiento Water Project. And he's an individual that could serve as both your GM and district engineer. I think it's something worth thinking about in terms of consolidating those positions. Secondly, 10F is a letter that you're being asked to approve. It's addressed from ostensibly the NCMA to the NCSD regarding their intertie project of Santa Maria. And it's a letter of support. Coincidentally, the same letter, it's a kind of a form letter that you're going to look at tonight. It's the same letter that AG is considering and PISMO is considering a letter. And I want to tell you that the many of the residences, in fact, there's a considerable amount of water conservation that's already occurred on the Mesa. And I'm not sure, in fact, the planning department may be discontinuing their retrofit upon sale ordinance because many of the units already are exhibiting high water efficiency fixtures. And I'd like to say also that this letter is reminiscent. If you recall, there was a form letter discussing and articulating that seawater intrusion was present in
Thank
Oceano.
You, Mr. Edwards.
And I think that's a similar.
Thank you. Thank is there you. Any other public comment?
I didn't get any other slips.
And Mary, did you want to respond to something that he...
Oh, yeah, it's taking a little while because this is my baby, picking an engineer. That's why it's taking so long.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Good evening.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I'm sure you know the slips are not required, so I don't know why Mr. Giesen continues to say that he didn't get slips. It's because I don't intend to fill one out. I, too, object to where public comment falls in your agenda, especially in light of the fact that there are few staff reports. There are lots of questions, and until the public is able to become educated on the subjects, we are standing here guessing at what the items are, and then if you're going to take action on them. So, in particular, 10A, there's no staff report, and there's no RFPs online. There's no way to see who you're looking at and be able to help you in your decision in making a choice of engineer. 10B, your manager's asking for your input on a reserve policy. I think you need a strategic planning session to decide what your goals are for this district. And let's set a date and have a workshop one day where we talk about the goals of the district and then set reserve policies to achieve those goals. Your resolutions, both of them on the agenda tonight, are misnumbered. You have already got some of these numbers this year. Particular one that interests me is the farmers market agenda. If you're going to move funds from one fund to another, the resolution, and I understood, and it should be a loan. The loan terms should be identified in this resolution. What interest rate? When's it going to be paid back? Who's paying it back? Etc. With regard to the farmers market bylaws, two positions here at OCSD, and you are an equal opportunity employer, you have to do a search and a proper notification that there's a job opening. This is a government entity. You have a policy on how people are sought for positions, and if indeed two people have been hired part-time in the last recent months, the way they were hired was not in line with your policy. I have lots more, but
thank you, Ms.
Next
Tacker.
Time maybe.
Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to item 10A. This is the engineering RFP, a committee status update on proposal review, and I'm going to actually have Ms. Lucy lead the discussion on this particular item since it was her baby.
First of all, I want to apologize for it taking a little bit while, but the board did have hands-on on this selection, and the way it typically works, will work, is that the general manager will give direction to the engineer that's hired. So a committee was formed of board staff, and did we have an engineer? I think we had a technical person or something.
No, it was you, me, Aaron, and Tom.
That's right. So We reviewed three applications that were submitted in a timely fashion. We advertised it in three places, posted it on the internet, posted it on our website, asked for certain things, five complete packets for the review board, and we set up interviews and interviewed the three entities. Do you want me to keep going?
We
reviewed three, and we interviewed two. Excuse me.
Okay. And that was advertised in Los Angeles, the Bay Area, and locally.
Right. So how did you envision this happening? Presenting to the board?
No, I thought...
the recommendation?
Because I didn't do the voting, so...
Right.
Director Guerrero is supposed to... announced, but we still have
sure.
to drop a contract.
And sure. And so okay. What happened was after discussion, we did have the interviews on Monday. We interviewed with Canon and their representatives and also from DPSI. We had Aaron Hughes from the Water Yard, Tom Gieselin, myself, and Mary Lucy. Then met for, I don't know, probably another 30 or 40 minutes following the interviews, and Manager Gieselin left the room. So Aaron Hughes, Mary Lucy, and I all had that discussion.
I think one of the, you know, my
go ahead, jump in.
One of the important things was is that the work be done in-house. We have street departments. We have people who work on the streets. And so the engineer comes, engineers the project, and we do as much as we can with the supervision of the engineer and the GM, the project. We have crews, we have trucks, we put money into equipment. There's absolutely no reason why we can't fulfill most of that, mainly piping jobs in-house. And so that's more cost-effective for the district. We're not paying subcontractors, and our guys are very much hands-on, so they know the mechanics of what's happening and where it's happening in the town. So we thought that that was a change from the past. And the guys in the water yard felt, I think, probably the same.
So we were very comfortable with both of the applicants, actually, and they were both well-qualified and well-knowledgeable about our services. But after those discussions, we decided to offer, offer the position to DPSI, Diversified Project Services International. And so we would ask Mr. Martin and Tom to contact them and to hammer out the details on the particular contract for approval and review. And this is, of course, subject to board approval. That's our recommendation coming from the three-person committee that met with the particular applicants.
Okay.
Karen, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think, do I need a vote on that?
Where are they based?
They're based out of San Luis Obispo.
Oh, okay.
They're about a six-year-old company. They have Doug Groschart, who used to be with Wallace, had left Wallace and will now, he had some history with the, can you keep it down, please? He had some history with the yard and knew exactly where the projects were and what had been done and what had not been done. And so...
Same people then?
It is, of sorts, yeah.
Yeah.
It is of sorts, except that it's working with a new group, but the same engineer. And so... Yeah.
The good...
All right.
They've always had control.
So we'll direct council and staff to go ahead and make those arrangements. And thank you very much, and thank you to everybody that applied. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Next is item 10B, discuss the establishment of a district reserve policy. I'll turn to you, Mr. Gieselin.
This is a carryover from last time when I gave you information, and the reason why I want it on there is I'd like to set up a finance meeting to where we can go over this and take all the information that we put in. So the staff report is we need to set up a finance meeting to go forward. So I need confirmation dates that we can bang this out.
How about Friday?
This Friday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have time to post it? Is that enough time?
No.
So.
72 hours.
How about next Monday?
How about Monday?
Well, you have kids that are on spring break.
They'll be on spring break next week.
Right,
yeah.
So that's one of the issues is that...
I believe I can do next Monday.
Yeah.
You can do next Monday?
Yeah. Morning will probably be better.
Okay. Monday morning is good for me also.
Okay.
Shall we say 9:30?
Okay.
Monday morning, 9:30?
Okay.
All right.
Wait a minute. Don't we have water master plan for...
No, we don't have water master plan that day. We just did it.
They like each other.
We have the rack on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that'll be the official announcement. We'll get that agenda posted tomorrow, 9:30, Monday morning. Finance committee meeting. And moving on to item number 10D, discussion review of resolution 2013-02. A resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District transferring $5,000 from the district's general fund to the Parks and Recreation account to support the establishment of the Oceana Community Farmers Market.
If I could jump in there, too. I thought the numbering was okay, but obviously the numbering will have to change. If this is actually the first resolution that the board has passed in 2013, it would be 2013-1. But if we passed other resolutions, then it would just be next in order. There was just some confusion about
that,
I guess.
Isn't the farmer's market, wasn't
that? Was actually passed last. The policy of the district is to establish a farmer's market in the community of Oceano. And it's a general fund transfer of $5,000 to an account for Parks and Rec, which the farmer's market community can utilize to continue the process.
Is that oversight through the GM or the chair, or is there some kind of oversight?
I think that would be contained in the bylaws. That's up next. Yeah.
It's established in the bylaws, and it'll have the normal oversight that we have on every operation that we take care of at the district.
The board.
The only thing that I'm a little, do we have a number for what we call the general, for lack of a better term? Do you have a number to that account?
Yeah.
Can we put that number into the fund instead of using the word general, because we don't have general funds?
We do have general fund.
We're a government entity. We don't have
general. We have a general fund.
Well, I would prefer to use the fund number.
Okay. We'll put it in.
District fund number, blah, blah, blah.
So the title of the resolution would change. Instead of saying general fund, it would be...
Use the microphone.
Most people say fund 100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the fund number would change. Or not the fund number, I should say. That's the title of the fund would change.
No, the fund has a number.
No, I understand. But that would go in the resolution. That's what you'd prefer?
Okay. Yes. It's like nonprofit. You just try to stay away from the word.
And
go ahead.
And also, in this resolution, if this is the appropriate place, I would like to indicate that this will be a return.
So you do want to indicate that it's coming back?
Yes.
Okay.
So you're saying that this is a investment?
Karen, do you have any comments or concerns?
No. So then, Director Guerrero, this would be it's looking like a no action taken.
I think so. I think what we need...
I'll redo it.
All right. Thank you, Chase. Bring that
Thank
back
you.
In. Item 10E, discussion review of the Oceano Community Farmers Market bylaws. I asked Director Hurdle... she would comment on this first.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Would you guys like to take a break at this time?
Yes.
Okay. It is 20 minutes to 8. Why don't we go ahead and take a 5-minute break? We'll come back at 8:45. Thanks, everybody. Those are some big ones, too.
We just wait for you to get close enough.
I've got it. It's like...
All right. We'll call this meeting back to order, the Oceana Community Services District. It is 7:47 p.m. We were moving on. We were on the item number... Giselle, can I have you keep it down a little bit? Thanks. We were on the item number 10E, discussion review of the Oceana Community Farmers Market bylaws, and I was deferring to Director Hurdle.
Yes. In review of the bylaws, I'd like to address a couple of things, and I'd like to start with Article 3, membership, E specifically, and it talks about the removal of committee officers, and I would like to see this language changed under E and then 1, conviction of a felony while on the committee. Which makes great sense, and conviction of a misdemeanor while on the committee. And there was a question about finance and oversight, and that is addressed in Article 7D. Funds which are budgeted for a specific use must still be approved by the OCSD Board of Directors prior to expenditures by or on behalf of the committee.
And which number was that? I'm sorry.
That was, it's Article 7, D. Last page.
Oh, okay.
D. And other than that, it looks very good to me.
I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead, Director White.
I don't quite understand. I'm on Article 3 membership, and I'm on, it's A and D.
Yes.
Only officers may vote on business items or other matters within the jurisdiction of the committee, and there's only three officers?
Yes.
So only three people are going to be voting members of that whole group?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really uncomfortable with the misdemeanor part, too. I think that's kind of a judgment.
Can I point something out real
it's
quick?
It's not, I think.
I think we need to reset something really quick here. This is just to get it started and get it going. When, if this proves to be a feasible setup and it can convert to the Oceano Community Farmers Market Association, then this board will not have any purview over it, and it will go. This is out of the revitalization that we put together and worked all hard on last summer and last fall, and this is just to get it going and see if it can sustain itself and stand on its own two feet. And odds are that these bylaws will no longer be in effect, mm-hmm. because if it's going to be as successful as I think it's going to be, they will have their own association. So a year from now, we'll be like going, look at this, look where it came from. We're like the everybody talks about cloud funding. We're like the cloud funders or the Kickstarters of this. Because we can use tools under our purview, under Parks and Rec, to get this going and get it going quickly. So I don't disagree with your changes. I see where you're going with this. Two people will overrule, like on the Sand District and all that other stuff. But this is just to kickstart it and get it going. If we slice and dice and cut this up, it's analysis by paralysis, and we won't get anything done. And we're under a pretty aggressive timeline right now.
So let me. I understand all the hard work that's gone into it, and I don't care about the board numbers. If you want to deal that, you've already. But. Really, you know, if you were to, I couldn't be on this committee. I wouldn't qualify.
Yes, you could.
I did my time.
Mary, you could. This is not exclusionary.
It says conviction of a felony.
And the change that we're making is while on the committee, during the time.
Not limited to conviction of a felony, but then it goes on to two.
Misdemeanor, same change.
Yeah, see, while you know, I think that people make mistakes in their life, they pay the consequences, they do the time, and they get their voting rights back, and they get to run for office, and they get to be involved in other social things, like sitting on juries and things like that.
Well, when they get it straightened out, then they can come back to the committee.
Left.
Crimes of dishonesty. And so I think the concern here is that they don't want somebody picking up a misdemeanor theft case, having control of the finances and books on this particular committee.
I'm 100% with you on that. Okay, but it doesn't say that.
Well, that's what she was suggesting to change it to.
Okay. So what's your suggestion again?
It is while on the committee, an active committee, or at CAF, serving as an active committee member would be most appropriate, I think.
Still, how does it remove the first line? How does that remove the first line?
It modifies it. Conviction of a felony while on the committee.
While serving as an active committee member. Mm-hmm.
Okay, while serving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doesn't feel good, but I want to be in support of the project, but I just want to go on the record as this doesn't feel good.
Well, I think the change indicates that this is not exclusionary. Someone who has paid their dues after making a mistake that is on the committee, we wouldn't even know what their background was. They would be on the committee. But someone who is actively serving, you know, that gets picked up for something, then we would know. And then at that time, it would be, you know, when you get the straightened out, come back, but not during this particular.
Yeah, I could see where it would be problematic and troublesome to bring that kind of chaos, that your lifestyle not conducive to the committee. I get that part. You know, it just, the way it was written, was very, very alienating.
I'm sorry, but I felt it too, and that's why I wanted to make the change.
Okay.
Are there any other comments, Director Hurdle?
No, I have
not. We changed again in four. Four, 4E. We've got that repeated again.
Where are you?
4E, it's on the next page. Article 4, officers of the committee, election and removal officers. So the same language under E needs also to be changed.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Please change it wherever it appears.
Article 7A.
Oh, yeah, 7. Sorry, I said 4. It should be 4 of A, the committee.
Okay, the committee shall limit
expenditures
from funds
of
the members.
Oh,
no.
Okay, got of it.
The
yeah.
Right, it's
I'm
correct.
Sorry.
The vernacular is correct.
Okay.
Should we go for it?
Let's do it. Is our motion approved?
As amended?
Yes, thank you, Chase.
Yes. I need to look at the wording here. I move we approve the bylaws for the Oceana Community Farmers Market as amended.
All right, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Roll call vote, is what I thought.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right, congratulations to the farmers market, and things are happening.
And thank you, Board of Directors, for your
thank
support.
Thank you. Moving on, item number 10F, discussion review of letter of support of NCSD, Supplemental Water Project, and other groundwater project. Tom, do you want to start here?
Yes, as you know, we're members of the NCMA, which is Oceano, Grover Beach, Roy Grandy, and we manage our water accordingly, and two of us have three sources of water, and two of us have two sources of water, being Lopez and groundwater, and then Oceano and Pismo have state water, groundwater, and our portion of Lopez as well. The NCSD and all the member agencies on the Mesa were in that lawsuit. The lawsuit said they needed to go get supplemental water. They've come forward with a plan to implement it. It has gone out for bid. That was a correct statement. And the NCMA drafted these letters in support, and I am bringing it to you tonight to discuss and decide whether you want to use this letter or use a portion of LIES that we had a different format. So it's for you as a board to discuss. Remember, you set the policy, and this is a policy statement that is coming from other agencies.
Why don't we start with Director Lucy? Do you have any comment on this particular letter?
You've seen that the NCMA drafted this letter?
It was drafted by our water attorneys and in conjunction with the NCMA Technical Management Group, yes.
And NEPOMA isn't part of that technical management group,
no, they are
right?
Not. No, they are not.
The Santa Maria groundwater basin.
Well, no, they have groundwater basin.
But they're part of that other entity.
Microphone.
They're not part of the NCMA,
no,
right?
No, they are not.
Okay. Could I ask that we use the correct name of the organizations, because people may not be familiar with the acronyms.
Northern Cities Management Group, or Association.
And people might have known it by the gentleman's agreement.
Right, by the gentleman's agreement, best managed water basin in the state.
Right.
Little plug.
Well, I think, how do I ignore the issue? I think there's a, you know, Oceano is interested in selling the Pomo water. And so if, you know, if this helps create the market for that and revenue for our ratepayers to keep our rates low and our infrastructures sound, then I'm in favor of it. My concern is what they did last time, frankly, that when we sent out a letter of support saying, hey, we think you should diversify, and then we found out they were sending letters out saying that, well, Oceano's water is all subject to seawater intrusion, and guess what? It's going to fail. And we had to combat that and send out a letter that I think was probably very damaging to their campaign to get the pipeline brought across the bridge. I'm not taking a position of that and on that particular pipeline in public, but our interest at that time was to protect our own water supply and information of water sources, and it was not well taken when we had supported them to get kicked in the behind without mm-hmm. even knowing, and that was not well taken at all. And so I think that our position, speaking for myself, not necessarily for the rest of the board yet, is that we would support them diversifying their water. The Pomo's going to show us their due respect and not trash our water sources, because it could have an effect when they're trying to promote development up there and saying, well, you can't go down to Oceano, they don't have any water, and we don't get the development, when the truth is, the matter is, we're not using half the water we got. And so, anyway, that's my concern with this. And I saw some typos. I had some concerns about the language about the deepening groundwater depression. I haven't studied the issue, but my understanding is that groundwater depression is actually something that's up for debate, and whether or not that's being created. And that was at issue there in the election for the pipeline coming across too, and that there was a report that came out just days before saying that there wasn't a depression, and I didn't follow that, so I don't know what the final,
that the was specific terms put in by the our water attorneys, and we actually toned it down because they wanted to use overdraft, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, we're taking the position that we manage our water, you need to manage your water, you need to get something done, and our attorneys put that that parameter in there. This went through, I want to say, a good month of analysis, and our former district counsel, Molly Thurman, was also involved in it. She reviewed the letter as well. And this is what has come out. Now, Roy Grandy voted on this last night, and they supported it. It's going before Grover and Pismo, but it's your call. You decide, and you brought up some very, very valid points.
Perhaps we could get some good faith language added to this that supports your concerns, Matt.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I was trying to figure out how do you do that. You know, I don't think we can send a letter that says, well, we qualify our support, assuming that you don't trash our water supply.
Yeah, we could come up with something.
Well, Mr. LeBrun's sitting here, Mr. Blair is sitting here, and I'm telegraphing them this message that, you know, we didn't appreciate that. We're trying to be good neighbors and support you in your endeavors, but...
not at our expense.
Not at our expense, mm-hmm. and that was not well taken. And we continue to try to be good neighbors and find, you know, community solutions to these issues that affect our neighbors. The third full paragraph and the fourth full paragraph.
I think I had the same concern as
third
Matt.
And fourth full paragraphs on the first page.
Mm-hmm. Is that I felt that we just kind of reached out to them and say, you know, let bygones be bygones, and let's try to work together. And you know, we were actually, you know,
kind of bashed for that, in a sense. Definitely disrespected. So that's where I came across, like, oh gosh, here we go again, writing them another letter, and then they're going to be like another dog and turn around and bite us. So, but I was also wondering, too, is what the letter of support is for. Is it a general overall letter of support, or is it for the LGA grant?
Yeah.
Do you know, Tom?
It was Napomo reached out to the NCMA members to write a letter in support of their project. And that's what generated this.
Correct.
And there was concerns voiced by the NCMA and the NCMA attorneys with possible threats to our own water supply. There's the 1,300 acre feet that's supposed to flow down from the groundwater basin down to us. There's concerns whether that's taking place anymore. There's concerns that they've been doing this for 10 years and still haven't got an alternative water supply. There's concerns that we, as a group, have taken great steps to manage our water in compliance well ahead of, you know, once the lawsuit started, and we work with everybody. We work with the farmers, we work with our groups, and we work with the agencies. In fairness, the NMMA, or the Napomo Management Area, is way more fragmented than we are. They have people that don't even come to the table when just for basic discussions. And I'm not saying that's NCSD's fault. I don't know. I don't intend to it. And quite candidly, they're NCSD, and we don't really, I'm not going to tell them how to do their business, and they don't come down here to tell us how to do our business. So I didn't give you my personal opinion, but I don't want to do that. I'd be remiss. And
Well, I think maybe we can ask, I think as part of the staff report and background, we can ask Mr. LeBrun for some background information on this. I don't think that's really public comment. I think he's here as an interested party. Would you agree?
It actually is their expression to offer public
comment.
They're here.
Okay. Well, if I can exercise discretion, I would like to invite Mr. LeBrun up, and if he wants to. And I say good evening, sir.
Good evening, President Guerrero, directors, staff, Michael LeBrun, General Manager in the Napomo Community Services District. What can I help you answer?
I think what we're looking for your perspective on this particular letter. I have a question about the groundwater depression that's referenced, because I know there was some information that went back and forth about whether or not there was a depression or overdraft. How we can assist, and I think we, personally, I'd like some assurance that we're not going to get kicked in the shin again.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you've been kicked in the shin. I think our district envies your district in its water resources position. You have three sources of groundwater, or three sources of water. You have on paper twice the amount of water you are using currently, and I know what your build-out projections are. But I think that's an enviable position as a water resources manager, and again, as I've expressed to your general manager, that is a position that up on the Mesa we would like to establish multiple sources of water, so that if any one of those sources was in peril in any one year, we might be able to maintain it, preserve it by relaxing our demands on it. This letter, we have a supplemental water project that is currently out to bid. We are scheduled to award that bid. It's a $14 million project. We're scheduled to award that at the end of April. The letter actually came up through both the NCMA, Northern Cities Management Area, and the NMMA, Napomo Mesa Management Area, are in the middle, at least we are at the NMMA, of producing our annual report for 2012 and submitting that to the court in the timely fashion by mid-April. And so one of the issues that have come up each year between the two management areas is, again, the NMMA. We are the only purveyors across the greater Santa Maria Basin that do not have supplemental sources, or what came up through the annual report and the NMMA, who supports, we're a member agency, but not the whole group, strongly supports the Supplemental Water Project. We supported it in the stipulation. The NMMA asked our chair to come to the NCMA and ask for a letter of support. The NCMA has long been vocal that the pumping on the Mesa is causing a restriction in the underflow that is making it to the northern extents of the Santa Maria Basin, which is the NCMA. In regard to the depression, that is in fact what your technical group points at, as does our technical group points at and says that that's a problem. We've got some excessive focused pumping up on the NMMA. So I've never heard any report or anything or refute of pumping depression there, but I
could be mistaken. I didn't follow it very carefully.
Yeah, I've only been around the issue for 20 years, but
okay.
Anyway, right. So I hope I answered that and not gone on. I tend to drool on, so I want to answer any questions as pointed as I can.
Any other directors have any questions for Mr. LeBrun?
No, not at this time. I'm going to wait.
Okay. Ms. Naylor, what's your question?
I've got two questions for the speaker, and it coincides with what we were talking about, Mr. Guerrero, when you were talking about how do we frame a letter where we want to support them in searching their quest for water and at the same time protect our resources. How do we put that tactfully? There are two basic issues I see. One is they need to commit in writing that they will search for alternative sources, and they need to control the size of their developments. Because when you look at where that water is going, just as an example, there's, you know, you've got two different developments where they built 1,000
okay.
houses.
Well, keep it to the question. Keep it to the question.
So the question is, does Napomo have any plan to limit the size of development, or are they going to allow developers to come in with no source of water and build 1,000 houses in one shot, like they did with Black Lake and with the Woodlands project?
Okay, Mr. LeBrun, I don't know.
Actually, if I can, Matt, we're getting a little off topic here. Okay. The agenda item is
the letter.
The letter.
Okay. All right.
That will always be with the county. The county of San Luis Obispo approved Black Lake to my board's objection in 85. The county approved Cypress Ridge to my board's objection in 90, and the county approved Woodlands. No other entity on the Mesa, I will note, took any action to pause development last May. Only NCSD did, and NCSD only reopened our movement toward allowing added connections in compliance with the county's general plan in our current services boundary once we had lined back up a viable and clear schedule to awarding a significant project, which I've already outlined. So my board, in fact, has worked tirelessly to work with the county and encourage the county to please address water resources when you approve development, especially large golf course developments. So we're doing our best. It's a board like yourself, so
right.
You can understand the challenges.
Well, as far as the diversification, Manager Gieslin and I do have some ideas that we'd like to discuss with you if you are interested in discussing those with us.
And Mr. Gieslin and I have spoke. We're trying to put schedules together. I must say, between now and April 24th was when we're scheduled to award that bid. I will be intensely busy, as will my district engineer. A man by the name of Peter Sevchik, 20 years experienced in water resources as well. We are also in the middle of a $12 million rebuild of our wastewater treatment plant. Our district operates two wastewater treatment plants, and we are rebuilding our larger of the two plants. We're in the middle of that construction right now. And so from a staffing perspective, we have just myself and the district engineer who are dedicated to these projects, and we're managing consultant teams, of course. So Mr. Giesel and I have spoke. We've tried to get the schedules set, and I think we had a date, but then we had to cancel on my side. My board president ended up laid up. And so anyway,
Looks fine. I wanted
we
to
are,
throw it
that
out
is
there.
One of my notes I wanted to say is We'd appreciate any support your board might be able to offer tonight, and in regard to this specific project, we look forward to working with the Oceano Community Services District in management of this combined water resource basin that we share.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Be happy to answer any other questions.
Thank you, sir. Director White, do you have any thoughts on this?
Not really.
Volunteer to say rewrite it. I would be happy to support it. But just so people know is that Oceano spent a lot of money diversifying our water, and when the state said if you get state water, you have to diversify your water, the residents of Oceano took that very, very seriously, and we've been nothing but due diligent about diversifying our water. So we would, you know, we would be, once again, happy to assist you in ways that are possible, but we, too, want to see you diversify your water source. We do want to see that you're recycling water up on the Mesa, and that you're not overbuilding, you know, because it does impact us, the entire South County, not just Napomo, you know, so... And when people overpump, that means that areas that have diversified their water are now restricted because we feel obligated to not pump because somebody else has overpumped. So we don't particularly like to play that role all the time. So I would be, I would put a letter of support, but not necessarily this letter.
You know, maybe one of the things we could do is pull up the last letter that we sent.
Yeah, we could pull up the last letter and cut and paste.
Right. I'm very good at that. Because there are portions of this that I actually I really do like. But Director Hurdle, do you have any?
I'm in agreement with both you and Mary.
I am too, yeah.
Okay. When do we need to have this out by, if at all?
Yesterday.
No, it's not yesterday. If we get it done between now and next week, we're all right.
Why don't I meet with you on Monday? We'll pull this up.
And we'll have a finance committee deal. We'll draft it.
We'll draft it after that. Yeah, that sounds really good. Okay. Thanks. I think we're in agreement that we do support the diversification. We just want to clean up the language.
Just want to send this letter.
Right. Thank you, Mr. LeBron. Thank you, Mr. Blair, for
Thank
coming
you.
This evening.
And we look forward to multiple collaborations.
Item.
So, do we need to vote on it?
No. I don't think so because we don't have the final letter. Yeah, there's no action. Item 10G, discussion and review of Oceano Community Services District employees' health insurance for fiscal year end 2013-2014 based on recent rate increases to the current plan. Tom, why don't you go ahead and...
So there is this thing called Obamacare, and there are some good parts of Obamacare.
Bye, guys.
Good parts of Obamacare. Everybody has to have health insurance. And so it was brought up to by the people on the board, I mean in the audience, that I was taking health insurance, and that is not accurate. I'm still not taking health insurance. But in fairness, I have to report if in a perfect world, if we staffed out to the way we wanted to staff out, that what the insurance ramifications would be. And so we review every March and April, and we put our plan in place. Now, last year, if you remember, we actually cut our insurance costs by going to a higher deductible coverage plan, but we implemented what was called an FSA plan, where the money that we saved went to the employees to use. And the and the employees bought into it. It was changing their whole plan. And now we're back at it again, and our insurance agent came with this book that has 25 different plans, and I don't want to change it because come January 1st, 2014, it's all going to change again. And so in total transparency and financial calculation and potential financial liability, that's why I put that matrix in front of you. And this is in a perfect world, but, you know, there are going to be some personnel changes made, some positive. But I still have to put out that whole liability. So what's happened is the current plan is going to increase by 23%. So 23% increase over the fiscal year 12-13 monthly premium is going to probably, if we kept everything the same the way it is now, it will probably increase by about $8,000. If we are mandated, which there's rumblings to be, that everybody has to have insurance, then it will jump up to $76,800, because regardless of my contract, I still have to follow the federal law. So we listed everything possible that could be on the road.
My understanding is they're releasing the plan September, because the open enrollment, the health care plan, they're releasing it in its entirety, September. All the HRA departments across are open enrollment in October. They're only giving them 30 days to change their human resources, whether it be state, city, mm-hmm. or whatever, right? And they're shooting for it to kick in February.
Right.
But we will have the plan, and I can download portions of the plan.
Well, we have that discussion going on right now with our insurance companies, and all that stuff. Your timeline is 100% right. The issue is going to be, though, is do we stay the course?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or do you tell me no? Go find a cheaper policy.
No, I agree with your approach on that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that it won't be as long as we think it's going to be.
Oh, so you're saying it's shorter than 7 months?
Yes. We're okay. Going to have the plan probably in at most 90 days right at this point.
Wow.
You know.
August.
And that comes from the horse's mouth at HHS.
Okay. So okay, even there, so the timeline should be shorter.
Everybody's working on it. Every department's feeding into it, and people are telling me that I should have a draft, which means it's been almost blue lined and ready to roll in 90 days. The minute I get that, I will bring it to you, okay. So you have a little bit of a jump start.
Okay.
So I tell you this because budgetarily, you don't have to. I would budget the 7 months that you're talking. I would budget it out for the entire year and then do a mid-year adjustment. You know, I'm not sure we're going to have numbers in 90 days, but we'll have program structure. And because I'm banking on this thing. I pay $900 out of pocket a month. So nothing could be that bad.
I'm with you. I know.
Each?
No.
Each in my family. So, you know, beans and rice in my household. But we have health insurance. So the minute it gets there, but I would support your strategy on this. And
forwarding fiscal year end 2010-2011 audit to the County of San Luis Obispo. Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
If you remember when I stood up on that June day in 2011, June 24th, you ratified a plan that I put together. You selected me over the seven other people. And I said that I would put a full court press. And I pulled off a note that I have hanging on my wall in the office that you've all seen, where the county's blasting us for not having our 8, 9, and 9, 10 audits in. They weren't asking about 10, 11. But I said I would get 10-11 done as well, and I am here to present you with the 10-11 audits, and I will have all the other letters tomorrow that go along with it. Now, the audit, we have no say. It's an independent review of where we stand, and I'm want you to give me permission to go turn this into the county so that I can cross that thing off my plan.
at the risk of being called a schoolgirl.
Now this is going to be. This
Thank
is
you
actually
very much.
This is actually going to be a little bit expensive to me because I promised staff that I personally would take them out for steak and lobster. So they are all going for steak and lobster on Tom's Nickel. So, but I didn't say where we were going, and I was actually thinking
a surf and turf burritos. So.
No,
you're gonna roll the Barbie out. The
well,
back.
You know, I love cooking for my staff, so I may do. We'll barbecue steaks and do the lobsters here, and just do like a New England feed. Cool. Lay out the tables, and then if people were happen to drop by, they could partake in it too. So.
So all the naysayers can go to our website as of
this
tomorrow.
This is on the website now.
Oh, it's already on the website. Final
Thank
audit.
You. Thank you very
so
much.
Now this
now what will they talk about?
So here's the other thing. So this one is done.
Oh, God.
We have a very aggressive timeline to finish 11-12 by the end of June, which I'm pushing, and I had to remind certain people in the accounting world that I was the boss. It's March, so
19?
Yeah, 20 months.
Wow.
Now there's a couple letters coming. One is the that we engaged the accountant. He was independent. There's the one coming about where they talk about the internal controls. And there's one about there where they give the findings, and we've all discussed that. There's no big surprises there. And this is a great day.
It really is. Thank you, Tom.
Good times.
And there's another side note to this. When we're putting the budget together, if we get the one done by June, then that's going to drop a lot of our outside consulting deals because we had to throw so much in to get this all caught up and do duplicate effort and a lot of chase down. But Carol Ann, Celia, Marie, the boys in the field all contributed in putting this together. And it was a great bonding experience because we pull it. They do what they do. And as we pulled it and we handed it over, it allowed us to look at our own internal controls and to continue to refine them. And a lot of that didn't come from me. That came from our staff saying, wow, we weren't addressing this properly, or we weren't given the way to address it. And it goes back to that policy that you gave me to go empower the employees to let them do their jobs, and we're seeing benefits, terrific benefits from that. So. To me, this is a very, very happy day. I know for Director Angelo, Director Lucy, who were here during all that strife, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
I don't know about you, Lori. I didn't think we'd make it.
I didn't either. This is great.
This is amazing.
Good work, Tom. Thank you.
So,
thank
but
you
I do need a motion
so
that you
much.
Accept it. I mean, it's not going to change. This is stone. So to accept it and allow me to hand it off to the proper agencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and can you send something to all the worthy news reporters that Oceano has caught up on their audits?
Yes, we will.
And those electronic Yahoos, too.
We'll put it along.
It's very deep in the packet.
Paper.
This is a remodel, and they're basically taking existing space and adding a bedroom and modifying a bathroom from one to two. It's no implication on the district. They already pay their water. They're already hooked up to sewer. There's no so I just need your approval to support this.
Is there a street light in here?
No.
Is this the one for...
Not a prayer.
Is this the one for Strand?
It's Laguna.
Laguna?
Yeah.
No. This is on Laguna?
Yes.
I didn't know about that. Yeah.
Okay, you have to.
Okay, Director Ancelo is recusing herself because she lives within 500 feet of this particular property. So while she leaves the room, I'll ask: is there any more discussion on this, or is there a motion?
And this is the last street on the Strand, right?
You're going to hit me on a map, aren't you?
It's what street is it again?
Laguna.
Yeah, that is the last street.
Yeah.
That's a dark street, and they don't want they don't, light.
No, they want the moonlight on the ocean.
Yeah.
Not everybody's got that L.A. mind here. They move to get away from all that stuff.
Hey, look, I don't have a sidewalk. I don't have that mindset.
Can I please have an approval on my will serve letter?
Is there a motion to approve? Or?
I so move.
All right, I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
4-0.
4-0, yes.
Oh, but that street light voted no. Yeah.
Director Lucy's going to come down and check on your street light. Closed session.
No, we got one.
One more.
You know, this kind of cracks me up because
when we put
these agendas together, everybody says we don't do anything around here.
Well, there's no staff report.
Well, hey.
It was staring right in front of me. We have the Jolanta Bankowska. I apologize. This is subject APN 068-085-002, OCSD project number 6458. This is on Pomeroy Road in Arroyo Grande. Oh, wait, no, that's his address. I'm sorry.
1745 17th Street.
Does anybody live near that?
I think Mary does. 1745 17th Street.
How far do you have to be?
500 feet.
Oh, darn.
It's a new house. Oh.
Help me out.
You know, you gotta have lights. You just gotta have a light. What happens to the old lady who's out there walking her little Pomeroy dog, walking the little dog, falls in the hole in front of your house because you don't have a light? Come on, you guys.
Come to house.
Are we ever going to be civil? I'm not asking for curb system. I'm not asking for drainage. You know, and none of that stuff. Just a little light.
Okay.
Just a little light.
There is a little bit of history on this. The history is this was a house that they pulled the permit, the downturn happened, they maintained the permit, and now they're building.
I know the house well, and I'm actually very excited that the project is picked up.
So it's been reviewed by OCSD, it's been reviewed by the county, reviewed by fire.
And the Oceana Advisory Committee is good to go in the dark, right? Mm-hmm.
I didn't attend that meeting.
They're good to go in the dark, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't have a meeting.
So are we good?
This month.
Yes. I need a motion to accept.
On this?
No. This has not come before us.
It's before you now.
It was done in the past. It was done in the past.
You're here, right?
Director Angelo can come back.
Okay. The plan on putting any light outside.
Director Angelo, do you have a property near this one as well, near 17th Street?
She has to recuse again.
Oh, okay. Director Angelo.
Step to the microphone.
Do you mind coming up to the microphone? So that way the people at home can
tell
hear you.
Tell us who you are.
If I do this as a public comment,
good evening, ma'am.
Hi. Thank you guys all for being here late.
If you'd have told me sooner, we would have updated the agenda to bring you sooner.
Yeah, we didn't know. This is the first time we've come and being last on the list, but it's been very interesting.
Next time you build an Oceano.
And do you have a sprinkler system in?
No, because this was a permit that was pulled, I think, 5 or more years ago, and if you live close to there, you know. He split that property and started building that house and got, you know, sticks up, and then everything went down. And so when we bought the property, the permit was already grandfathered in. So we apparently that permit was before any of that was required. We took on a monster and have come
humor
a long way.
Just friggin' humor me, okay? There's sensor lights there at Home Depot for $12.99.
Oh, we've got a big garage light there.
Great!
Garage light. right out to the sidewalk there.
So
yeah.
When someone's walking their dog, the little light comes on.
Be happy to put a sensor light.
They don't fall off a non-existent curb. Great, great.
No, there's even a sidewalk there.
I need a light.
They could fall off of.
Yeah.
Fine.
Right. A Bud Light.
Fine, Bud Light's good too.
Okay.
Christmas lights, I don't care.
What we're kind of curious about, and I'm not exactly sure because we're kind of new to this, but the permit that we were under the impression when we took the property on and we were given documentation that he was already tied into the sewer line there. We found out at the end of our project, as you can tell, we're almost done, beginning of last week, if we're not tied into the sewer line, as the plumber was running his sixth and final, you know, flush of the house, some water comes bubbling up and the sewer line just comes out to the end and goes nowhere. So now we're faced with, you know, with tying in.
Right.
And so the line from the front property, which we own as well, that it's on the corner of Paso Robles Street, the sewer line comes from that house all the way across the back of the property and into that alleyway and hooks up direct to the sewer. It would be real easy for us to tie into that right at the corner of the property. It would only double over.
Not without an engineer report, it wouldn't be.
Okay, and I wasn't sure because I know my general contractor showed me plans of a project.
We reviewed that, and you will have to put a separate sewer line, and it's not because it would be really easy. It's because if you put too many on a line, and we have issues in the past where they put four and five houses on one mm-hmm. standard line that should only support one house.
Right.
We spend a lot of time cleaning up.
Okay.
And we weren't sure, we just knew. The amount of penalties that our regulatory agencies hit when we have a spill, whether it's your problem or our problem. So unfortunately, you're getting a break because you don't have to put the fire sprinklers in,
right.
But you will have to put in its own individual sewer.
Okay.
And easy on the lights.
I think this has gone off the topic as far as it can possibly go. So, I mean, but is there a motion?
So we're going to table this?
No. I'll make a motion to approve the will serve letter. Is there a second?
Second.
So I'm sorry, you got to clarify the second line. Who's putting in the second line?
They are.
They're putting it inspecting it?
It's part of their fee structure, yes.
Okay.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Congratulations. You have a good sir. Thank you, ma'am.
And thank you for developing an Oceana.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next time we'll put you at the front of the calendar.
Yeah,
all right. Moving on. Now we're going on to item number 12. Closed session. Are we having closed session this evening?
Yeah, we're in closed session.
Okay. Commerce with legal counsel, existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, subsection A, from Stephen Langstaff regarding wrongful termination. We will recess to the front. It is 8:46 p.m. Call this meeting back to order. It is 9:02 p.m. We've just returned from closed session and we have no reportable action at this time. Moving on to item number 13, board member comments. I'll start with Vice President Lucy tonight.
I just strongly encourage people to try to get involved in the county plan. That way we have a little bit more say-so in the South County area. So you can call Tom or myself if you're interested in it. Jennifer attends from the community. It's a good project. Could be.
All right. Director White?
Nothing really.
All right. Director Angelo?
Thank you, Tom, for all the good news.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Director Hurdle?
No, thank you.
All right. And I do appreciate that. Working with Tom on almost a daily basis, I really appreciate his efforts and those of the entire staff. One of the things that Tom didn't mention tonight was there was an issue that came up, and he put the staff to task on it. They all worked collaboratively together to come up with solutions, and it's really fun to see this. Fun isn't the right word. Encouraging to see the staff working in a professional, collaborative manner to solve issues and not having to always take up Tom's time and coming up with solutions. And so I appreciate our staff and the rest of the board. Moving on to item number 14, received written, why don't we do 14 and 15 together, received written communications and late received written communications. Anything, Tom?
I can't remember if I got anything or not.
Is there anything you wanted to bring up? I mean, I know you got, I think it was some email or something, but I don't know if you wanted to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I am getting late communication. You know, the farmer's market, we put it together. The staff has supported the community. The community has been very, very active. And I received email from the county saying that certain individuals were going to challenge it. And so they have until tomorrow to file the challenge. If they file the challenge, we'll have an appeal on April 5th at the Board of Supervisors. It won't be before the board, but it'll be before the commission. And once it, if they are successful in their appeal, then it stops it. If they're not successful, then they have the option to file before the Board of Supervisors, and it's $850 to stop it. And that's where we're at. And to me, it's really, really disturbing that somebody would even think of doing something like that.
Right.
So I've been meeting with the school district, and I've been meeting with the county, and basically preparing for the worst.
And having seen the communication, Tom, I don't mind saying that it's Mr. Edwards and Ms. Tacker that are trying to stop the farmers market. I've seen those communications, and I think that the public should be aware, and those on the farmer market committee should be aware that these two individuals are trying to stop the progress that Oceano is making.
And I'm fairly
speaking the microphone. It's making the microphone, Chase. Okay.
It is.
The issue was with regards to parking. That's kind of a minor issue, but
I mean, that's why we put that's why we picked that location, so that people could walk to it, so that people, it's in the center of town, it's an area that doesn't get a lot of high speed traffic, and we have agreements, we own the land, we have agreements with the school district with parking, with off-site parking. We're going to make the service road into the yard will accommodate additional parking for those type of events. We're taking and dealing with the community the way it needs to be dealt with.
No, I thought it was a good location.
Anyway, so that was the latest written communication that I got. I
Thank
forgot
you.
About it because I'm still in rapture over the audits being done.
Does this appear to be Saber Rattling? How is the county viewing this? Do they think this
No,
is
they're preparing to that it's going to go to appeal. And as are we. I'd be remiss not to.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, staff time is being used up by Ms. Tacker and Mr. Edwards.
I don't know who's gonna throw the rock, but one of them is, they've both been down there examining all our records and everything else, so we just got to make it happen.
Right, it is happening, and I think that this momentum is going, and I'm encouraged. Looking forward to shopping there. Anything else, Tom?
And this also, the other thing is, which I talked about before, the Latino Outreach has contacted us about supporting our Cinco de Mayo, and regardless if they stop it, we could still have a Cinco de Mayo presentation.
Right. Okay.
And then the other thing is, in reading all the leases and all that other stuff that goes with it, there's actually a point that said we get 120 hours of free rental use of that facility if we want it. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that we need to keep in mind. But the school district wasn't going to charge us anyways. It was just working, you know, it's there if we need it. So
Great.
That's all I got.
I was going to say one thing. It's amazing how the county can allow a community building to be built that has just minimum parking because they felt it was in the center of the community, and how somebody can come back and protest what they allowed, which was the street parking. I mean, that was one of the things that was discussed when they were building the building.
Right.
You know, so it's just amazing.
Well, we'll just, it's, you know, we're good Boy Scouts, and we'll be prepared. And when they throw it at, we're going to throw it right back. I've been doing it for 2 years, mm-hmm. almost 2 years. Everything they throw, we throw it right back. And we'll just be ready this time.
And it'll cost us more money.
No, it won't. No, it won't. It'll mean I won't get to focus on something at the same time, but it won't cost us any more money.
Well, your time is money.
It is, but we got, in our purview is Parks and Rec, and that's why we put it under Parks and Rec.
Right.
And, you know, we're at a point now where we're forward planning. Where we're taking big right. boy and big girl steps to make this place the model utility it is. And have you heard, they're running out of stuff to complain about.
Which I find a little odd, since under President Hill's short-term stuff, we had four GMs. So we've also stabilized staff, not to be minimized, but I just can't thank you enough for putting all the energy into the audits, really. I'd actually like to talk about our relationship with the Sand District and open at the next meeting.
Okay.
It's coming up.
The Sanitation District relationship, how do you want to phrase that, Director Lucy?
I want to talk about our role, and I also want to be clear on our charter. If it spells out standing and what that means in relation to the Sand District. So ultimately, who's responsible for their behavior and activities? Which body do they work under? Who? So if there's been bad operations questionable operations, who follows up, Sand District Board or our board? You know, our reps, it makes up that board. And I think that that has to be hashed out. There's too much money. It's, if it was, you know, like a past attorney who got us for $100,000 or something like that, I probably wouldn't put that much energy into it. But we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars. And we also talk in that we've had our president sitting there holding down the BS for so long that we all owe it, but particularly to Matt, who's been sitting there taking it month after month, twice a month for so many months, so I'd actually like an answer to it. You know, and I recommended to Matt that maybe AGP. So our relationship to the Sand District, I think, is needs to be discussed, and what it says to it says in our charter.
Okay, and I think we had the budget on for the next meeting.
Right.
Ethics training, Brown Act training, we're going to need to schedule those. Well, the ethics training only, I don't know if we need that for an agenda item. I think that...
Well, it's going to take place May 6th, so we still have another month.
Well, and then although if the Farmers Market Committee is going to follow the Brown Act, they're going to need to do ethics training.
Well, we'll give them, okay.
Maybe we can plan something on
Saturday. I'll get them all signed up.
Yeah.
Fireworks has to go back on the agenda, too.
Fireworks,
yeah, fireworks
yes.
Too.
Plus, we have the resolution regarding the $5,000, and we're going to have the letter for the NCSD letter. It's already a full agenda. We haven't even.
Well, the NCSD letter is going to go out prior to that. You've agreed to do it. It's
yeah.
going to be a subset of
the... So you and I are going to meet on Monday.
What?
You and I are going to meet on Monday
right,
after the
right.
Finance Committee meeting.
So that's not going to be on there.
And okay. Would you mind if I sent some comments from the existing letter?
Not at all.
Over to you?
Why don't you give them to Tom?
Or Carol Ann. Saying,
I like this. I don't.
We're going to have our NCMA annual report, too, that gets filed with the court in April. It's a timing issue, and I don't know. We're going to meet on the 10th, so it may be before then, but we've done our final review, so that'll be coming forward as well.
Anything else, Director White, that we should add to the...
I don't think so. That's a pretty full meeting.
It looks like it's already filling up. Mary? Phil?
No.
Okay. Director Angela?
No.
All right.
We have public comment.
Public comment, but I think Giselle's already used up her 6 minutes.
No.
No? No. Did she save some time? Oh, Giselle?
I remember when the farmers market was starting in San Luis Obispo, and there were people in San Luis Obispo that didn't want the San Luis Obispo farmers market, and we're in an agricultural area. Mm-hmm. And what helped the farmers market to prevail there over jurisdictional arguments and authority arguments is the Department of Agriculture. There are special protections for farmers markets that override kind of local opposition at maybe the lower levels, even the town and county levels. Agriculture has special protections, the agricultural industry. Then when the other businesses said, hey, we want into this. This is making money for the farmers. We went into this too because we've got our businesses down there. What they did was they formed a quasi-public agency, the Business Improvement Area.
Right.
And that brought together the interests of private business with governmental powers. They acted like an advisory body to the city of San Luis Obispo, and now you've got all kinds of wares being put out in the street. I personally think that's great. A lot of people don't like that, but I think whatever business you are, as long as it's legitimate, you ought to be able to come together and advertise it and earn the fruits of your own labor, you know, earn profits from the fruits of your own labor. So think positive about this issue.
We are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Giselle.
I've said it to you personally, but I'm really glad that you're coming back to the meetings.
Yeah.
Yes, it's good to see you.
Nice having you. Put away the handcuffs.
No.
All right. I'll make a motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
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 Have a good night. Thank you, too.
Good, Giselle.
I know.